Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back, Droid Life Show, episode 144 today. It's Friday, June 23rd, big show. I'm your host, Kellen, with me, Tim Saya.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Tim here.
So, thanks for joining us after a couple weeks off, but we've just had a lot going on, and today's show is, well, it's a little bit special for us, just because, well, we launched a new website and new branding and all sorts of stuff. We just like big changes for Droid Life that we obviously want to talk about. Hope you guys have been enjoying those so far. We'll talk more about those in just a minute. But also, OnePlus 5 announced this week, already out. We've had it in our hands now for a couple of days, so I want to talk about that a lot. HTC U11, a review of that's been done since we last were on the air. Tim's reviewed the BlackBerry Key 1 since then as well. Bixby Voice is out. We have Note 8 rumors. There's Pixel 2 news that was a couple of weeks ago. I just feel like there's a lot of big topics going on. So anyways, yeah, thanks again for joining us. So let's talk about the new Droid Life. Well,
it's hot.
Fresh ass new shirts, which we will be selling shirts very soon. So stay tuned on that. We're just dealing with some other stuff and then we'll get that swag out there. But yeah, so new Droid Life, we pushed out a new version of the site the first time in at least 3 years, right? I think it was three. I don't think it was four. I think 3 years. Pushed it out. It's been a week ago to the day, actually. So new Droid Life, new theme, sort of new setup. There's definitely some familiar parts to it. And then we obviously have new logos, which you're seeing everywhere. And yeah, it's just kind of a new us. We've been working on this for months and months and months. We've kind of teased portions of the new logo here and there, like our weekly recap. I think we've tossed it out there a couple times. But yeah, we're live, and it feels good. Like,
oh, it's a relief, man.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you start, like, as you're working towards building this thing out. And by the way, we worked with a design firm in Portland called Murmur Creative. They've been great to work with. I think they did a really, really nice job on it. So, yeah, but we've been working with the new site testing for a long time. And then every time we have to flip back and actually work on the old site, not that the old site had any serious problems. It just was getting old and it was starting to get patched together with things here and there. And it was just time. So, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, like, lots of changes. The site's faster. The mobile site is, I can't even express how much improved the mobile site is. It's insanely fast. It actually works. There's pinch to zoom on it, which I don't know why we never fixed that on the old version. There's a working menu and everything just works better, I think.
Yeah. I guess all I have to say is I want to thank everyone who's sent it positive, you know, feelings and vibes and feedback. We've been reading so much feedback. And on things that can change, little tweaks that can be made. And we are reading all of that. And so we appreciate that and keep it coming. Feel free. And if you see something, say something. If something's wrong, feel free to send us an email, anything like that. Other than that, I love the new look. I mean, we've been looking at it for a long time now, but to see it like come to fruition and wake up to it every day and write on it, it's a real blast. So.
Yeah, and we're totally aware that it's a big enough change that it's going to take some getting used to. Like, we're still getting used to it, and we've been playing with it for a while. So I get, like, there's just some things that are in different places, and you're probably trying to get used to those. And so, like Tim just said, the feedback we definitely need. Overall, I think people have been pretty happy with it. I don't think we've scared off a whole bunch of people or anything like that, but it's definitely different. But I think it's going to be better in the long run. I think as more and more of you just kind of access the site via mobile, since we made that about as good as I think we could, hopefully you guys are enjoying it. But yes, fresh new Droid Life. It's kind of crazy. It's seriously been like 3 or 4 years from the previous version, which I like the previous version. It was time.
Yeah, I remember when we launched the previous version, I was super stoked about that one. But this one is, you know, it's not just a reskin. It's so much more. And it really shows, I think, in the performance, just especially on mobile. Dude, I mean, it just loads quick, feels quick.
This is by far the biggest overhaul we've ever, well, maybe from like original version that I built on Blogger to like switching to WordPress. Like that was pretty big because it was like an actual server, not just Blogger, but definitely the biggest thing we've ever done. So anyway, yeah, just keep the feedback coming. Let us know. Like we're still tweaking little things here and there on the back end. I know one of the big complaints has been the desktop font size, and we're going to try to hopefully address that really soon to make that slightly bigger. But otherwise, yeah,
just play with it. Oh. And another thing I see people say a lot is the comments discuss, not auto opening. And I think if I'm not mistaken, it's just a speed thing, right? The page just loads so much quicker when, you know, the site doesn't have to pull all those comments out automatically. So if you just press that button, the page will load a lot faster. Then you just press that extra button. I know it's an extra step and we're sorry, but it really helps performance, we think.
Yeah, and there's obviously we could look into allowing people to decide if they want it auto-loading or not. I honestly do not know the technical side of that. I don't know if there's a cookie you could throw up when you click that button that makes it always expanded for you. We can look into that stuff. I mean, we've got like a running list of these things. So for now,
hang in.
But yeah, so we'll have some hopefully some stuff you guys can buy really soon in case you are interested. And I think that's it in terms of the new say. It hasn't crashed yet. That's always good, right?
That's a plus.
All right, moving on to actual real news that doesn't involve us talking about how great we think our new site is, or our biased opinion of our new site. No. I mean, it wouldn't be Droid Life if we weren't getting called biased over something, right? Yeah. So this guy right here, OnePlus 5. So OnePlus had been talking about the OnePlus 5. They confirmed the name of it quite some time ago. And now they, and then they announced it on the 20th, so 3 days ago. And already, you know, we have one. There's always obviously the early batch of reviews that are already out, and then they hooked us up. It's kind of like wave one and then wave two, and so we're obviously a part of wave two. But we have the phone now. We've unboxed it. We've done like a first 10 things you should do, because a lot of people ordered it on the 20th, and like we ordered one and it just showed up already today. So if you got in on that early batch, you probably have your phone today. So OnePlus 5, starts at $479. And that's for a 64 gig, 6 gig model. And then that goes up to 539, and that's 128 gig, 8 gig model. it looks like this, which a lot of people think looks like an iPhone. And yeah, it kind of does.
Big deal.
Yeah. It's pretty clean, though. I mean, this, especially this black version, I haven't seen the gray one in person, but it's just clean, all black, dual camera setup, Snapdragon 835. It's got Oxygen OS, you know, that light sort of Android skin with some customizations. It's got fingerprint reader up front, AMOLED display, still 1080p. Overall, though, it's a lot like the OnePlus 3T, obviously just slightly more fine-tuned design, and then the dual camera setup, and then some upgraded internals. But like you asked me what I thought about it, how it felt in hand, and the only thing I can compare it to really is the OnePlus 3T. Like, it just reminds me of that. It just looks different, obviously, because the camera is not centered in the back and it's dual camera setup. So I don't know. What do you want to know about the OnePlus 5?
I know everything there is to know about that phone.
Yeah, so you wrote up a story just a couple days ago that was like, there's a lot of stuff to like. There's also just as much stuff to maybe dislike. Do you want to talk about some of those things that you like and then why there's also a bunch of things that you dislike?
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, the first thing to me that really stuck out was, you know, as soon as the OnePlus event started, the live stream, and they were talking about, yeah, I mean, we don't care about specs. We don't put out phones just to talk about how great the specs are. And yet, for the next hour or some odd, they talked only about the specs and how great they were.
They really did, too. They showed this initial slide that was like, here's all the specs for you people who just care about specs. Now let's move on. And then they just walked through like spec by spec. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed interesting. Regardless, you know, for a company who, you know, who says that, right? I mean, they really want to just group together the best specs they can, you know, obviously for a somewhat affordable price, and make sure that they all run just seamlessly together and create a fantastic experience. And so for me, that's most important, right? Like, I don't care if the phone comes with a Snapdragon 820 or 821, as long as it's smooth and it's good. So I think, you know, the fact that they did group in all these great specs, I'm a fan of that. However, There are some things that the phone is lacking. Of course, I mean, when we're talking $479, $539, it doesn't put it in that price point to compete, I guess I would say, with an S8, although, of course, it's going to be compared to one because it is a flagship device. But, you know, there's no water resistance. And the fact that, so they talk so much about having this dual camera system, one being telescopic, or telephoto, excuse me, and one just being a standard RGB sensor, except from everything I've seen, and I know Kenlin probably hasn't dived in too much with the camera yet, but I hear that the dual camera system kind of sucks. I mean, even The Verge, that is, they can be nice sometimes, they can also be pretty harsh, pretty critical, but they said the dual camera system was a total fail.
I think those were the exact words, actually. I think they said it was a total failure or something.
Yeah, so that seems pretty harsh.
HD wasn't super high on it. I've seen some mix where some people said good, but I'm kind of with you. That's kind of the feeling I've gotten, is that people are like, "Yeah, it's okay."
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not earth-shattering. I wish companies would talk about the benefits of having so much RAM. Yeah, great. You know, big numbers are good. 128 storage, that's awesome. But then for 8 gigs of RAM to go along with it, they didn't really explain why that's necessary or why you'd be paying more for that. I understand that multitasking will be good, but your average consumer doesn't really probably going to understand the difference between a phone, say the Galaxy S8 with 4 gigs of RAM, already a pretty fast phone, and then to double that, you know, I don't think you're going to be seeing the OnePlus, you know, crush the S8 in terms of daily usage. And I'm not even going to get into the whole OnePlus is cheating on benchmarks thing. It's just, I don't care about benchmarks enough to even call them out for being stupid. So, but needless to say, I'm a fan of the design. I'm actually really excited to get the phone in my hand later today. And I know Kellen, I think you'll be doing the video review. I'll be doing the written review. And I'm excited to use it. I mean, I'm definitely not going to hate on it. That's another thing. Last year, I voted OnePlus 3T phone of the year. And OnePlus now bringing this kind of, you know, pretty darn expensive phone, considering it's unlocked, not going to work on Verizon. It's kind of an expensive phone. No IP68 or 67. And it's just sort of like, it just doesn't bring that much to the table, especially if the dual camera system sucks. But I will get more into that once I have my own time with it. So,
I'm kind of with you. Like there seems to be, first of all, I'm out of focus. This doesn't seem like it wants to focus on me. It seems weird. Maybe it's just my internet. I don't know. I feel like their messaging is just so weird and off at the moment. Like you said, they're at one point they're talking about, we don't care about specs, but then they spend all this time talking about specs, like the camera specs and the processor. I mean, they had Qualcomm's CEO or chairman, who doesn't usually show up to things, like on stage doing this like whole song and dance about how awesome the Snapdragon 835 is. And they're a company who doesn't care about specs, but like they're cheating benchmarks. I mean, so like they do care about a lot of this stuff. But then they also talk about never settling and how they can innovate faster because they're a smaller, young company, except then like in the same sentence, like during this video that you mentioned with The Verge, they also said like, well, but we're also a small company, so we can't even get like infinity displays and some of the other cool stuff. So I don't know what they're trying to, like, which way do you want to go? Are you a young, small company who just tries to make small changes and do things quickly? Or are you trying to do the most innovative thing ever? Because they're not. I mean, you know, like if we look at this, like dual cameras have been around for a while. They said it also in that video, like, well, we were going to do dual cameras last year, but we didn't want to because we didn't want to try to educate the market on why that's cool. We let Apple do that for us. And it's like, okay, so are you pushing boundaries or are you not pushing boundaries? Like, like which way are we going? So I think their messaging is kind of all over the place. And it sounds like excuse without trying to make an excuse. It's a bit odd. That said, I'm with you. Last year, I thought the OnePlus 3T was my favorite phone of the year. And this phone is very similar to that. They've upgraded stuff in, I think, the right areas. They did miss water resistance. And again, we're talking about not settling, but everyone else is doing water. I mean, LG did it. Obviously, Samsung's been doing it. Apple did it. HTC even did it with the U11, but these guys still know water resistance.
They're a startup. Give them time. Yeah.
So we're a startup and we don't settle, but we settle all the time on all this stuff. You know, 1080p display. I don't mind 1080p displays. I use the regular small pixel that has a tiny little 1080p display. This one doesn't really bug me. Like I'm fine with that if it makes battery life longer. Although the first couple days of testing, I haven't noticed like ridiculous battery. So I think this phone definitely has some flaws. Just in my couple of days with it, nothing's blown me away yet. It's very familiar to last year's phone. And then the stuff that they changed, like the dual camera, like, yeah, I haven't really tested it yet. I don't have much to say. I will say it's really fast. Like I just pulled it out and was snapping pictures of, my son the other day. And it was like, boom, 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 like fast, like HTC's phones, I always feel like are really slow in the camera department. And that's one of the things I knocked the U11 on, which we'll talk about later, but this phone doesn't seem slow in that department. I mean, you turn it on, just, you can snap, which I think is the way cameras should be. But, I don't know, like, you know, it's still USB 2.0. I know it's type C, but it's 2.0, right? Everyone else is using 3.1. Not that I'm necessarily doing lots of transferring over cable from my phone, but you know what I mean? Like these are those specs. But then it does have Bluetooth 5.0. It's like the second phone to have that. So a mixed bag. In terms of the pricing, $479 is still, I guess I'm kind of torn on this, right? So part of me kind of goes, are you guys trying to be an affordable brand, or are you just going to creep up every year until your phone is $600? Because right now they're on that trajectory where we're going to be at a $600 OnePlus 6 if we aren't careful, right? Or $579. I think that would probably be the... Oh, there. See, now I'm in focus. I was out of focus for like 5 minutes. Weird camera. But so $479, I think, is still a pretty good price. You can buy an LG G6 for around that price, just at this point, because there's so many discounts on that already. But at $539, I don't know. Is it worth... If you're spending $539, I mean, you can buy, like Samsung, for example, is running a deal on the Galaxy S8 right now where you could trade in any smartphone and get like $200 or $300 off, and it drops the phone to like $425. Like, why would you not do that? The unlocked S8, which actually does work on every single carrier, including Verizon, over this. So some phones are getting more expensive. There's deals to be had all the time. I think one of the big selling features of OnePlus phones for a long time is they were like under $400. At one time, they started out at under $300, and now we're already over $500. So you kind of lose that value. But
I also think it's an interesting point, though, as OnePlus's prices are creeping up. It's not as if LG, Google, Samsung, Apple, their phones aren't also creeping up. I mean, Samsung, we'll get into this later, but the latest report says your Galaxy Note 8 is going to cost almost $1,000. So when we're talking $1,000 for a phone, I mean, $539 is a freaking deal of a lifetime for a phone like this. So they are still sort of on that kind of low, they're on the upper mid range of pricing. Which is, well, good.
Samsung's going up. LG's right. Not, right?
Man, it's still expensive. It's still in the 600 range, right? So that's like high end.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't, like, Samsung seems like they're like, they keep kind of creeping, right? Like, how much is the regular S8? Isn't it 725? It's discounted right now. I think the unlocked is discounted by $100, but I think it's 725. So, and Apple is obviously always expensive, but, I guess I would hate to see OnePlus just kind of keep doing that. Like next year, if the OnePlus 6 is $539 and $579, I'm just going to go, whatever. Like you're no longer the company you once were. You guys better just own that, which is fine. If you want to sell premium expensive ass phones, that's fine. But you got to own that. Don't try to be like, no, we're still kind of affordable, which is another message they can't decide on. Are they a budget or are they not a budget company? So far, though, I like it. I mean, it just reminds me. I think you'll like it. Like, I think it's just like the OnePlus 3, but slightly upgraded everywhere, and then has a sort of a new look, right? Yes, it's kind of iPhone-ish, but it's a sleek-looking phone either way. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that OnePlus doesn't throw in a bunch of software like LG and Samsung, right? It's just sort of like a more bare-bones, kind of Pixel-like, Nexus-like experience. And that's what I appreciate. As long as I got Google Assistant and stuff like that, I'm good.
I mean, they've even styled their launcher to look like the Pixel launcher. Right. That's sort of transparent. You swipe up on it. I mean, they've done that. There's themes and icon pack support, plus all like gestures and all that stuff. I mean, it's the software approach we like, where you bring stock Android and then you add on just some useful stuff. Yeah. And it's lighter than, you know, even HTC does it, which is why I like this approach so much better than HTC. So far I like it. I think the battery life concerns me a little bit. That's like my biggest complaint so far. I bet you the camera's fine. It's probably not going to be the best camera, but it's probably better than the last year's camera, which is at least an upgrade.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they were just on stage for a half hour talking about it was the best camera they've ever created and worked with Sony to create custom sensors for it. And I got MKBHD saying it's hit or miss. Like, what the hell does that even mean?
So that's one of those things when you are a sort of smallish company, you probably don't have the best engineers, and when you go try to do stuff like make the best camera ever, you may not exactly hit those. Like, how many years ago or in a row did Google say, like, our Nexus, we have the best camera ever, and they were terrible every year until the Pixel, and now they're finally good?
6P was pretty good.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about it. I shouldn't and just 6P. Okay, so they were good. They were terrible up until then. Yes. And then, yeah, 5X, 6P actually had good cameras. But the Pixel is, like, really good, right? So,
yeah. Nexus 5 or 4 definitely had the worst camera of all time on a smartphone.
The Nexus S was terrible. The Galaxy Nexus was supposed to be improved. The Nexus 4, they talked, I think, a little bit about it. And the Nexus 5, that was when they first brought, I think, optical image stabilization, and it just didn't matter because the sensor was so terrible. Yeah. And the Nexus 6 was fine, but that was just a phone no one bought, so it didn't really matter.
Why did they do that? So huge.
So anyways, yes, the OnePlus 5's here. You can buy it. Well, no, I think the initial batch sold out, but it'll be back soon enough.
4 more days, 27th.
Yeah, so then you can buy it if you want. We asked the readers if they were buying this one, and 67% said no. I think a lot of people...
You know, I don't think people were blown away by this phone as much as they thought they were. Like, the hype was real for the OnePlus 5. Everyone was like, I'm waiting for the OnePlus 5. And then they announced it, and that hype faded real quick.
I think it... there was an early round of reviews that were ready on launch day, and I think a lot of them were fairly mixed. Mm-hmm. I think there was some very, very positive ones, and then I think you had a bunch that were like, you know, it's like when the Galaxy S8 comes out, it was just kind of unanimous that it was just a really, really good phone that you would enjoy buying. I think even the LG G6, for the most part, was one of those phones that kind of got that. Even the HTC U11 is kind of getting that. The OnePlus 5 I really saw sort of like hit or miss. Some people loved it. Some people were like, I don't know. And then with the price creeping up, I think it's also got people torn. Mm. So our readers anyway don't seem to be that excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think back to the days of the OnePlus One. They announced a phone; it was $299, and for a phone that was like pretty awesome back then, they had like an alert slider and all this stuff going on. Like, that was cool. It was like
had that sandstone.
Yeah, there was like innovation going on, and you know, it's so much easier, right? Yeah. Right. It's super easy. I feel like to just drop $300 on a phone just to like see what's up, instead of dropping high 400, low 500s. Just to see maybe if it's cool. I don't know. It's harder when that price goes up. Like you said, it's harder to just get super stoked and drop cash. So,
yeah. You know, it was like the Nexus thing for a while. Nexus phones were so affordable that a lot of people just buy them and not even use them. Or if they did, whatever, you know, they were so affordable, a couple hundred bucks, but we're getting up there now. So it's definitely not such a splurge item where you just, sure, I'll test this one out. And if it sucks, it sucks. But yeah. So, yeah. Related note, and I feel like we should mention this because the OnePlus 5 just came out. OnePlus did confirm within the last 2 weeks that the OnePlus 2 will not receive the update to Nougat. So I bring that up because, well, it's terrible that they aren't bringing Nougat. So the OnePlus 2 is 2 years old now. So when it was a year old, Nougat was released. So that would be last year when the OnePlus 3 came out, right? So OnePlus 2 was a year old, Nougat came out, and they now announced that they're not going to update it to Nougat. So it basically received 1 year of software support, and they're all but abandoning it now. I'd imagine they could release security patches and bug fixes here and there. But in terms of major upgrades, that's a single year of updates. And they've already come out and they were trying to like brag like it was a good thing that they were promising Android O for the OnePlus 3. And I think our response to that was, why would you be bragging about that? Like, if it's not, we're going to throw a huge fit. Like, we're talking again, that phone will be a year old and then Android O will come out. And so they're going to update to like good. Do you really want like a round of applause for that? Like, that's a year old phone. So if you buy the OnePlus 5, just go in knowing like you may get a year of updates or you may get a little bit more than a year. We don't know. And that's kind of one of the issues that we're running into with OnePlus at the moment.
That can be frustrating.
Yeah. And they'd come pretty far. I felt like with OnePlus 3, their software updates seemed to come better and faster. So maybe they're getting better at them. But with the OnePlus 2, that's like abandoning that is just, it's kind of a disaster. So. All right. Anything else to say about the OnePlus 5?
No, I'm excited to get my hands on it.
It's pretty good.
I can have my own opinion on the camera.
Yeah, I think my biggest frustration right now really is battery life. I haven't found it. I did switch SIMs, though. I was running AT&T on it, and I feel like AT&T, maybe my house gets kind of bad service. I'm not sure. So I switched it to T-Mo today. I'll hammer on it again and we'll see what we go. But yesterday it was like, I got like 12 hours of use, I think. And it was pretty much dead. Or was it 15%? So I guess I could have gotten another hour or so, but 1080p display. Come on.
Come on. It's what's the size?
3300 milliamp hour battery. So does have that dash charge though. God, they spent a lot of time. There's nothing worse than on stage, somebody doing a battery speed test.
Oh yeah.
You know, they were like, watch dash charge, it's better than ever. And they're like, look, here's a comparison. You're like, dude, just stop talking about it. Just tell us it's fast. We know.
Yeah. I don't need a video.
We don't need a video. All right. So HTC U11, my review is out. You know, it was funny. The last show we did, we talked about the Essential phone. And then we also talked about how you and I both had the U11 and the Key One in-house. And we spent a lot of time like kind of ragging on both phones. And I think a lot of people, well, it was funny, like there was a BlackBerry like representative watching the show and like live tweeting at you as we were like talking about the Key One. But
yeah, that was really lame.
But I think a lot of people came away going, you guys are such haters. And it was like, it's true. No, we do this with every phone. I mean, we kind of keep it real with everything. But anyway, since then, U11 reviews out, BlackBerry Key One review is out. So U11, I mean, I don't have any more. I sent it back to HTC. It was a review unit like we do with most phones. And I have mostly positive remarks about it. There's not a lot necessarily, I don't think, to dislike about the U11. It kind of checks all the boxes in terms of the good stuff, which is what I think is obviously most important, right? Like the camera better be good. The performance better be good. Battery life better be good. And then the software better be good. And then the fifth one is kind of design, right? And so I think where I dinged it is in the design category. Like on the backside, it has this kind of cool metallic, liquid metallic mirror finish, which looks cool, but keeping that clean is like impossible. You have to constantly wipe this thing off. And like by the time I had the review unit for like 2 weeks, by the time I was done, it was so nicked up already just because like you're constantly wiping it. You could scratch it while you're doing that. If you set it down on anything, it's going to get a little nick. So it's going to be a tough phone to keep looking pretty. And then if you flip it over to the front, it just looks like a phone from a year ago, which is kind of how the way I put it. Like it feels like design wise, it's about a year behind everyone else. And not that everyone has to do an infinity display. I mean, you know, this OnePlus phone also doesn't have an infinity display, but it's much more edge to edge, I think, than the U11 is. And, you know, the button setup on there bugged me. And so, yeah, I told people, like, look, it's a good phone. If you want to buy this phone, you will probably like it. I would probably opt for the S8, maybe even the G6, maybe even now the OnePlus 5 over it. So, and that doesn't mean the U11 is a bad phone. You know, like when you you review phones for a living, like, you know, when you're using a phone, if you're like, this is awesome. I think a lot of people would really like this phone. I just never got that feeling with the U11, and it works on everything. It works on Verizon and AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint and whatever.
That's funny. I got the same feeling reviewing the Key One.
So, oh, shocker.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. When you just, because sometimes when a review is over, you're like, I want to keep using this phone. Like, I want to make this my daily. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that just doesn't happen. It's not a bad thing. If anything, you know, it helps us really solidify our feelings on a phone. So,
yeah. And so that's kind of the way I walked away from the U11. I told people, like, look, if this phone looks interesting to you, you like HTC phones, you like their software approach, all that stuff, I think you're going to like this phone. If you haven't really been following HTC and you're kind of wondering, like, well, should this be one? Like, I don't necessarily know that it's a better phone than the Galaxy S8 or G6. I mean, personally, because of the software and stuff, and the camera, I'd probably use Pixel. I would maybe use the OnePlus 5, although obviously I'm still testing that. But I don't know. Like, HTC makes phones that are good. I just never feel like they're the best thing I've ever used. Like, the HTC 10 was a fine phone. But I also walked away from that, like we just said. And like when I was done, I didn't want to just keep using it. I was kind of like, okay, on to the next one. Which, to be honest, I felt the same way about the Galaxy S8 this year. I just haven't loved the S8. I think it's a really good phone, but it hasn't kept me around either. So,
as Samsung Shield in the chat says, some reviewers say the U11 is their favorite. But they're obviously being paid. There's just no way.
So subjective. It's totally like a HTC Pro bias. I mean, can't we say that, right? Because everyone says we're biased against HTC and everything we say is so subjective. I'm sorry, but if somebody says it's their favorite phone, it goes both ways.
It's their favorite phone. It's totally fine. Yeah.
But I'm a terrible person because it's not my favorite phone. I had some good conversations in the video review of the U11 with some people, because you know we haven't even really brought this up, but like the HTC Elevate crowd, that whole thing, they showed up. I expected them to, and they showed up on YouTube, and we had some good conversations. And they tried to be really polite. Like a lot of their comments were like, "You're so wrong, but I respect your opinion." Like you could tell, like it was like the HTC talking points of like how to be polite. It was really funny. But yeah,
Elevate.
U11 is a fine phone. Oh, and, yeah, the Edge Sense squeezy stuff. I forgot about that. Didn't really use it at all. And not that I think it's a stupid feature. I think it actually could be useful. I think because it's something kind of out of the norm, it was hard to get like to remember to use it all the time. And so I just hardly ever use it. Like to launch the camera, I just double click on the power button because that's how I've always done it. To launch Google Assistant, I just hold down on the on home to launch that. And so otherwise you could like turn the flashlight on, or you could like turn your Wi-Fi on or off. I mean, those are things like I already do fairly quickly, and I know this could be quick. I don't know. It was like it's one of those things that just didn't feel that natural in my usage of it. So it's fine. I mean, I think it's cool that HTC is trying to innovate by doing different gestury things with their phone, but just didn't stick out to me. And the phone is $600 at least, right? $650.
Yeah, it does seem sort of gimmicky. That Edge Sense stuff.
There's a new red version out though, which is pretty
Solar hot. Red looks pretty darn hot, I gotta say.
It does. They sent me the Sprint Sapphire Blue one, which like when I reviewed the U Ultra, I had the Sapphire Blue, so I didn't want another Sapphire. Like I don't think the Sapphire Blue one looks that cool, and I think it's because I had the U Ultra in that. I think the silver one's hot, and I think the red one's hot. Like, if you're buying the black or the sapphire blue, like, you're doing it wrong. So, U11, I think it's a totally fine phone. I think it's a really good phone. I think it's a nice looking phone on the back, and the software is fine. And audio features, it has really good audio features. Like, even though there's no headphone jack, it has a DAC built in. They give you really nice earbuds in the box. Has boom sound, external speakers. Like they nailed a lot of the stuff. I just think overall the design and a little bit of the software stuff bugs me. And it doesn't mean I hate HTC people. It just means that their phones just are a little bit behind everyone.
For sure.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. You want to, oh, by the way, HTC says it's selling really well. Better than the HTC 10 so far.
That's pretty good. That's good. They need a winner.
Yeah, I don't know if that means it's a winner, but that means it's selling better than the HTC 10.
So it means they sold a few phones.
They sold a few more. Yeah.
That's good.
All right, you want to talk about the BlackBerry Key 1? Do you still have the BlackBerry Key 1?
I might. You know, I don't think it's in a box somewhere. It's definitely not on my desk or in my pocket, that's for sure. Probably waiting on a return slip.
Probably.
Anyway, So yeah, I reviewed the...
Not phone of the year.
Not phone of the year, unless my name is Rana Fringa, and then it might possibly be phone of the year. Phone of the century, even.
Ron's last two reviews, BlackBerry Priv and HTC 1A9, he was like, both of them. Oh, these could be phone of the year. It's too bad Ron's not listening. Really funny. We should almost have him come on air right now just to try to defend those two claims that both of those could have been phones of the year.
What's he thinking? Anyway, we were talking about that on Twitter just the other day. It's funny. Also, we talked about how NFC was like not necessary and just not cool. So, but he was wrong and he admitted it. Anyway, the key one, 4.5 inch tiny full HD display, Snapdragon 625 processor, big old battery. You know, there's a few things I actually liked about the device. The build quality, manufactured by TCL, and really enjoyed actually in my hand using the device. Super nice build quality. Display, even for being so small, actually looked quite nice for only 4.5 inches. However, where it struggled was performance with the Snapdragon 625 and whatever kind of like skin type of stuff that they're baking on top of it. The phone was very slow. Now, obviously, the big draw for the Key One is its built-in QWERTY keyboard, like it's 2007 and everyone's rocking a BlackBerry again. I'm not a fan, and I said it when I started the review, and I said it at the end. Like, I did not own a BlackBerry device back in the day, and I just did not appreciate the whole physical QWERTY thing. I've had phones that had it. Like, my first phone that was like a smartphone was an LG Voyager, which had, like, a little flip top, full QWERTY keyboard. It was awesome. After the week I used the Key One, did not fall in love with it. I really didn't appreciate using it all too much because I like to watch videos. I like to do a lot of like gaming and stuff. It's really hard to do that on a 4.5 inch display with like a fatty keyboard sitting right next to your display. There's just a lot going on. Other than that, if you just use it for, you want to check your stocks, you know, make sure your portfolio is nice and, you know.
You want to check your stocks?
Yeah. If you want to make sure you're diversified, and all you want to do is emails and send text messages to fellow friends on BlackBerry Messenger, then the Key One is probably going to be a pretty sweet phone for you. Like, if this is the phone you've been waiting for, I can actually go ahead and say you're going to love it. But dude, it just wasn't for me, and that's totally fine, you know. And I don't think I was BlackBerry's target market or anything. All I want to do is get the word out and review the phone, and I feel accomplished in doing that, but it was
there's by no accomplishment in getting all the way through a review of the BlackBerry Key One.
It was hard. And yeah, there's just not much else to say, right? It's a fine little package. It has awesome battery life. The
550?
Yeah, 550.
The 550. There is a Verizon model, but the other one works on T-Mobile, AT&T. I mean, that, when we're talking 550 now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this doesn't have a physical keyboard, but no one wants a physical keyboard.
It might be true. Yeah, like I said, there's just not much else to say. It has a fine little camera. It's a BlackBerry. I don't know why BlackBerry is doing this to us.
I guess I'll be interested to see what they do next time around. Like, are they going to go kind of flagship-y BlackBerry phone and really try to sell it? Because obviously this thing it was a niche thing, right? They're like, hey, guys, back to the old days. Like, check it out. And I get that. I hope they didn't actually plan to sell like 20 million of these things. There's no way in hell. But I want to see, because TCL is behind it. And they, I think hardware-wise, the Key One didn't look terrible. I mean, yeah, it had a physical keyboard, but the other, like the metals they use and the textures they use, I thought it had kind of a unique look. So I would love to see them create an actual modern smartphone.
That would be fine with me. Like the Priv.
Yeah.
But no keyboard, no slide out keyboard. Like, it doesn't need all that, right? Just make an Android phone with like top line security and BBM and all that stuff. That's fine.
Right.
I just ditch the QWERTY.
Yeah. So hopefully they do that. You know, it's also like it, that runs like 625, Snapdragon 625, and you mentioned how the performance you thought was kind of crappy. You know, like Motorola is using 625s, or they did all of last year, and their phones were blazing fast. So CL obviously has some software they need to work through, some optimization stuff. Maybe this year, maybe this is the year they'll come out with something else.
Yeah, I definitely didn't hate the phone. I just didn't enjoy it, but there was definitely no hate going on. So that's a plus.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to like hate a phone. You just don't enjoy it.
Right? Yeah. I just didn't enjoy it. That's all.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
All right. Huge Galaxy S8 news this week.
What?
Bixby voice is here for some people.
You got me. Trolled me.
did you get into the Bixby voice yet?
I signed up for the beta, and I did get it on my phone. I just haven't really gotten into using them. Actually, I went and I'm using the Pixel XL now with Android O, the 3 build, because I wanted to really dive into that and get a feel for Android. So I have not really got into Bixby, sorry.
All right, so Bixby Voice, the flagship feature of Bixby that hasn't been on the S8 since launch, even though, you know, probably should have been. It's now in an early access program that you can sign up for. I don't know if you can still sign up for it or not, but potentially. And then Samsung pushes it to your device, and you kind of get to test it. It's definitely in beta. They're not like hiding from that fact, like it couldn't have issues and all that. Anyways, it came out this week, and it's actually not bad. So you get to launch it by long pressing the Bixby button, and then it goes into that. It's like launching things now. Hold on. You can also go into a full screen section. Looks like this. And it's supposed to be... So I did like an overview video of it. And how I tried to explain it is this is not Google Assistant. Like Google Assistant is more like, give me information, right? Google Assistant's all about information, maybe setting some reminders. You can control some smart home stuff. But a lot of ways it's like it just wants you to use Google stuff. Whereas this is like... talk to me and I will do stuff on your phone. So it's just more like a hands-free experience of your phone. And if you pull up like the command list, it's insane. This thing, so like, I know I can't really show this on video, but I can just scroll and this thing just keeps going and going and going. And this is probably for like one app's worth of commands. So I don't know how anyone's ever going to remember how to do all of this stuff, but I think it might get to the point where you can talk to Bixby and just basically tell it like, open this app and do this. And it'll probably just do that for you, which could be a huge deal later on. Right now it's a little slow at times, but it works for the most part. You can create special shortcuts. Like I showed in the video, rather than saying like Bixby, open up this specific playlist. Like I programmed it to just say, a Bixby playlist, and then it opened that specific one for me. So you could do quite a bit of cool stuff with it. It's going to take some getting used to because there's so much freaking stuff it can do. Kind of overwhelming.
So you kind of like it?
I don't know if I would go that far. Okay. I haven't really used it since the first couple days because I'm now testing the OnePlus 5, right? So I haven't really done a ton. I would just say I'm more impressed than I thought I was going to be. I will say that. I can admit that. Okay. Liking it is one thing. Like, I don't even use Google Assistant that much. Like, I don't talk to my phone a lot. I think it's a pain in the ass. But if I can, I don't know. I'm still trying to think of stuff. Like, when I think of talking to my phone, I think about, like, turning the flashlight on and off or something like that. Or asking it what the weather is. But this is so much bigger than that. Like, it's... open this phone and go to this playlist and go to this or go to this folder that has these files in it and make them do this. Open up gallery and find photos from when I was in Canada and post those to Instagram. I mean, it's like, it's kind of insane how much stuff you could potentially do with this. I just think it's going to take a lot of getting used to because it's in depth.
It does seem like a really big change. I'm just happy it finally launched. I mean, I think, we were waiting quite some time for it to come, and finally it did.
Finally it did. So, like, this says, like, open Bixby Vision and scan a business card and save it in my contacts. Like, that's an actual example command they give you.
Well, that's, like,
first of all, wouldn't you just open the Vision yourself and just hold the card and scan it? And But I guess maybe the after part where it automatically then will save it to your context. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so that scrolling list was like, I mean, like this one says open reminder and delete the image from the shopping reminder. So reminder obviously being the app, but then delete the image from the shopping. I mean, like these are things you can tell it to do.
It's a lot of stuff and that's cool, but isn't it like almost too much?
Open gallery and delete the location information from the most recent picture in the travel album.
Oh my God.
That's like a command you could do.
It's impressive. I'll give it.
Yeah. That. Like that's why I'm saying I'm much more impressed with it than I thought I would be. I don't know how you're going to remember to like do something like the amount of gallery commands are just absolutely bonkers.
You're not going to remember that stuff. That's the thing.
Like you can tell it like open the camera and apply the black and white filter.
Oh, that's cool.
So then you don't have to go hunting for settings like that. Like you're like, oh, I want to take a black and white photo. Open camera, open black and white photo or filter. And it'll, that's like things like that.
Yeah. So you think of your phone is the tree. Okay. And each app and setting is a branch. And within those apps and settings, there are leaves. And so Bigsby can access not only the trunk, the branches, but also the leaves. So every time you see a word inside of your phone, like for a setting or anything, Bigsby can access that. And that's really cool. That's like, that's deep integration. But damn, like, this is like overwhelming for me.
Yes. Like open settings and show me free popular themes in Samsung themes. Like those are things you could tell it to do. Open messages and make message font size smaller.
Mm. Oh God.
I mean, like I'm just scrolling and this list. I'm not even halfway through the list. I've been scrolling on it this whole time. We're talking open Samsung internet and select all of the bookmarks. Like why would you select all of the bookmarks? I guess you want to delete them or something.
Samsung Shield says you can make your own short word commands to do multiple commands.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was talking about, like how I programmed just to say like hi Bigsby playlist, and then it like opened, went all the way into my thumbs up playlist, and I didn't have to say like all of that extra stuff.
That's really awesome. Well, I guess I'm just gonna have to try that out.
You should almost mess with it for a while because it's pretty crazy. Like we should almost you should try for like 2 hours straight to only use Bigsby to access things in your phone. Because you can even ask it to access your notifications, I believe. Open settings and show me the edge screen settings. Open settings and show me the notification sound settings. Open settings and set the ringtone volume to max. I mean, you could do like all of this stuff with Bigsby.
Yeah. So pretty much any setting that's on your phone.
Yeah, it really is almost anything.
Probably is everything.
Settings and turn off the iris unlock.
My.
So the settings tweaks you can do are pretty nuts. Here we go. Open settings and set tap duration time to 8 seconds for universal switch in accessibility, dexterity, and interaction. That's a command. That's awesome. So anyways. I think it could be really cool, and obviously it'll have to get better, but overwhelming, yes. But maybe it's just one of those things like EdgeSense where we have to get used to using it more often.
I tech you out, guy. You're teching me out, bro? He says, Google Assistant is cool, though. Why is Samsung and LG and HTC wanting to bloat us with even more assistance?
Okay, first of all, HTC's Sense Assistant thing is not, it's like a fake app that does absolutely nothing almost. I would ignore that. LG hasn't done its own. They actually just push Google Assistant.
Yeah.
But like I was saying earlier, Bigsby is different than Google Assistant. Google Assistant, I think, is more of like an information finder. Plus, it does a couple of little tweaks. Like it'll kind of help you control your smart home and get and like turn a couple of settings off and stuff on your phone.
Bigsby this is like phone commander.
Yes, it is like. It controls, like we just said, every single thing that has a setting in your phone. You could tell Bigsby to do it. Like the thing I just listed off about accessibility, dexterity or something, like you could control that stuff with it. So it's just different.
Yeah. Plus with smart things coming out now and these little hubs and they've got their own smart Wi-Fi and all this other junk, you can imagine integration with all of Samsung's existing IoT infrastructure ecosystem coming soon.
Yeah.
Get ready.
So yeah, I would say a good way to describe it is impressive. I just, it just kind of scares the crap out of me because I just don't even know where to begin other than like turning the flashlight off and on.
Lols.
Opening apps.
Yeah. I want things to be super responsive when I'm using that. And I find like sometimes on Google Assistant, it's not even like quick enough for me. I'm like, oh, I could have just used my fingers. You know, like I'm an able body person. I should just be able to do all this myself. Why am I getting lazy? But I do appreciate the laziness aspect of it. So
optimize my phone and device maintenance. Open Kakao Talk. Oh, that's so funny.
John M asking me Bixby or Siri. Take a guess, dude. I've never used Siri in my entire life.
I haven't either. I think I've tried a couple times and I just was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
I did see a video of somebody like right after this came out, they posted like if Bixby could rap, and it actually worked.
What?
Can you rap?
One for Galaxy, two for Bixby. The Mazda and I rubber with new tricks on my sleeve. When I spit the rides, the music pumping. Let it pop, beats drop, won't stop. Feel this pulse and hip hop. I'm the real deal. I'm clean of the world.
Come on, that's pretty awesome.
So we can confirm that was what held up the Bixby voice launch. They had to find, like, they had someone
to write. Still working on their rhymes.
Oh my god. Pretty awesome. Brandon asking, really, Tim? Never? Yeah, I'm actually pretty darn sure I've never used Siri. Every time it pops up on my MacBook Pro, I'm like, why can't I disable this button? Because I always accidentally type on it and stuff on the new MacBook Pro. I hate, and I've never owned an iPhone. So, no, never used Siri.
I tested that iPhone 6. God, that's been a while.
It's like a long time.
Months ago. Tested that, and I don't think I ever used Siri the whole time I used it. And, yeah, all my Macs, I don't use Siri.
I can't believe Bixby raps, dude. That was awesome.
pretty great. We're going to have to find more of those little nuggets because I think there's probably, if that's in there, there's got to. I mean, it's like a multiverse.
That's like full trap. Really, it was like a whole mixtape of rhymes right there.
It really was. Pretty awesome. Yeah, a lot of these people in the chat are like, what was that?
Because the beat was fat.
It was pretty good.
Anyway. So we need to record that, upload to YouTube. Definitely.
Yeah, somebody already posted on YouTube. I'm totally just stealing it from them. I don't remember who it was, but pretty great. Yeah. All right, moving on from there. Bixby voice. Galaxy Note 8 news today. Do you want to talk about the huge Galaxy Note 8 news today?
Oh, absolutely. So initially, earlier this week, we, from ET News, this is an overseas Asia website, they're pretty tuned in to what's going on with Samsung, LG.
With Samsung, yeah.
Yeah, they said August 20th for an unveiling with launch, you know, like an actual release shortly thereafter. Now, thanks to Evan Blass of Leaks over at VentureBeat, we are learning that it might actually be September with launch following that. So they said second half of September. Yeah, exactly. About a month exactly later. Of course, this is all up in the air. We don't have any confirmation from Samsung. So until then, nothing is confirmed. However, we did learn a few interesting tidbits about the Note 8, possible tidbits, of course. Take everything I say with salt. Lots of salt. Can never have too much. But what we think we know is that the Note 8 will indeed have dual rear-facing cameras, 12-megapixel sensors, and in fact, each will have independent optical image stabilization, OIS. That is something that I don't think we've ever seen yet.
I don't think so.
Dub OIS? Independent?
This and neither have OIS.
Yeah. Well, 1+5 is a failure. So, we're talking potentially talking a 6.3-inch infinity display. Same kind of look and design as the SA, SA Plus. 6.3 compared to the SA Plus is 0.1 inches larger than the SA Plus, so not a huge size difference. Only a 3,300 milliamp hour battery. So a size like that, I mean, we're going to be, it's still going to be a very thin phone like the SA Plus. So they're not really packing in a huge battery or anything like that. They are upping the RAM, according to this report, to 6 gigs. Of course, it's going to have an S Pen with updated functionality, but no one cares. No one actually uses S Pen, right? Snapdragon 835, of course. Exynos, depending on your market. And the only other thing is that, well, two other things. First, the fingerprint reader placement is going to be the same. So that's not changing. It's still going to suck. However, the cameras, oddly enough, like we haven't seen like a render or anything like that, but the cameras are said to be placed horizontally, not vertically on the backside. So we've got dual horizontal cameras.
So like this.
Yes, except then a finger heart rate sensor, then the LED flash, and then the fingerprint reader. So like your backside is going to just look insane. Really weird. It's going to look like the Borg.
I can't even envision how that's going to work.
I know. Now that I'm thinking, if it's not vertical, it's going to look super cattywampus.
It's
going to
look terrible. How can they make that look good? Especially if it's all side by side, like you're saying. Because if it was like dual centered, and then underneath it was like the flash, and then underneath that centered was the fingerprint reader, that would make sense. But
yeah.
What the hell? I'm trying to look at this thing now.
Well, Robbie in the chat says he uses the S Pen daily, so that means he probably counts for like a million other people. So there's like a million users of the S Pen, apparently. I was wrong.
Look at this, though. How do you get two cameras side by side and those other things side by side?
It's gonna be a tight squeeze.
Seriously, yeah. What? Like, because that camera housing is pretty big on there. Like, you're gonna shrink the guy down.
It's totally possible.
Nervous.
I'm nervous too.
Reader on the back.
Yeah. Not a fan of that. Anyway, the last point was the pricing. So in euros, it said that this phone is going to start at 999 euros. So given the conversion and what we saw last year or this year with the S8 Plus, we're probably looking at a $900 US starting price for the Note 8, which is, it's going to be expensive, but...
That's so expensive.
Hey, man, we're talking 6.3-inch Quad HD Infinity display. You know it's going to be IP68, 6 gig RAM, 835 S Pen. This phone is, like, everything.
Why is it... Like, where's the... Okay, so over the S8 Plus, which starts at 825 or 850-ish. So if you're going up another... Oh, they said he said 900 in the US. So that's like a $75 increase. I guess you got dual cameras, the S Pen,
6 gig RAM. That's a jump right there for 75. That's nothing.
I guess so then, yeah. I guess those are upgrades.
Yeah.
That's expensive though.
Oh, the chat has a lot to say about the Note 8.
Or Note 8.
They're pissed.
Yeah.
Real quick, can you turn off Bixby on the S8 still? Like, just disable the package?
You would have to like download a package disabler and a special app, right? And like shut that thing off. That's the only way. There's not like an actual option in the app to shut up. You can turn off Bixby voice. Like, if you don't want to use Bixby voice, there's a setting to turn that off. Oh. But overall, you can't just disable the button, which I think is a pretty huge mistake by Samsung. Some people just might not want to use Bixby.
It's true.
And I don't know how many times I accidentally press the stupid Bixby button and it launches, and I don't want that happen all the time. Like, if I want to use it, I will find it. But no, you can't. Still.
Other than that, we don't have, I mean, that's pretty much all the info you would ever need. All the
renders we've seen or whatever are totally wrong on the Note 8. So
yeah, the only one that we saw for the Note 8 was one that had a vertical dual camera on the backside. So you know what? Just picture an S8 Plus with dual camera on the back, and there you go. That's the Note 8. It's just going to be a little bigger.
Yeah.
And it's going to have an S Pen. I mean, they know that the design of the S8 is really resonating with people, I think, considering how many people love that phone. So I don't see them changing that drastically anytime soon.
As much as I like the Note 7, I kind of don't think I'm going to like the Note 8. Just throwing that out there right now.
Nice. What? All right, talk to me. What's wrong?
Something? I don't know. I think I still don't love the S8. I think a lot of it's like, I don't like Infinity displays or something. The software I still think sucks, but I don't know. Every time I go back to the S8, I'm on it for like a day and a half, and then I go, I can't do this. I don't know what it is. I still can't pinpoint what it is I don't like about it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
John and sorry, go ahead.
I was just going back to the Pixel, even though like my white Pixel totally has like a display problem and it always looks yellow, I think.
That kind of sucks.
It does suck.
John in the chat says, I hope the Note 8 has a explosive launch. Can I just say, like, that's the last joke we get to make about Samsung phones blowing
make up. Make another blowing up Note joke. You're gone. You're gone.
So the S8, according to reports, have had, Samsung has received no reports of any problems with the S8 blowing up. So I think it's safe to say Samsung phones are safe and we can stop making those kind of jokes for now. Until something, I hope nothing happens again because I don't want anyone getting hurt, you know. But I can poke fun at things too. But people getting hurt, no, that's not funny. So let's hope that the Note 8 does not blow up.
Oh god, that's why it has a 3,300 milliamp-hour battery. Because yeah, they don't pack too big of a cell in there.
Keep it safe. Keep it small.
Ah, that's gonna be an annoying time listening to those jokes.
Yeah.
All right. So some older news since we've been off air for a while. In terms of Pixel 2 stuff. So Pixel 2, so months and months ago, rumor that there was two new Pixel devices called Walleye and Muskie. And then we also revealed a third device we were told under the code name Taiman. Taiman? It's gotta be Taiman.
It's T-A-I. Pretty sure it's Taiman.
That would be weird.
You and I always kind of differ on this stuff, so that's fine. Taiman.
I'm going Taiman there. Anyway, Android Police says that one of those original Pixel devices, Muskie, was supposed to be the Pixel 2, the bigger guy, Pixel XL 2. They say that's gone, and that Taiman, whatever you want to say, will replace it. And we had reported that was going to be a larger phone and it was separate from the other two Pixel devices because we were told those other two Pixel devices were made by HTC. We didn't know who was making this other larger Taiman device. And apparently it's going to be the Pixel XL. And we now think that LG is making it. So that would mean smaller Pixel device made by HTC along with a second bigger one made by LG. I don't really care, but I will say that makes it a little weird, right? Like last year with the Pixel and Pixel XL, they were the exact same design and hardware. One was just a little bit bigger. With this, you have two manufacturers potentially making these. Like they can't be that similar because they're two manufacturers. They don't have the exact same stuff, setup, process, whatever. So that's a little weird that I think they would do that.
Super weird.
Yeah, and I'm also not sure why they would do that because I'm pretty sure HTC was like ready to go make new Pixel 2, but maybe I don't know. I guess I don't know why they would let LG slip back in there. Otherwise, we don't really know much else. That's kind of it.
As long as, you know, my only real concern is that one company won't be able to keep up with demands for the phones. You know, if there's a huge demand for, say, the larger one, as we've always seen, people love these large phones for some odd reason. Maybe either HTC or LG, you know, or just, it doesn't really matter which one, as long as both of them can keep up with demand and meet everything on time, right? Like that to me is like availability. That's where the Pixel and Nexus phones always fall apart. It seems like it's really hard for the people to buy these devices.
Oh yeah. It's always stupidly hard. I don't understand why Google can't ever figure that out. One thing to keep in mind, a month or two ago, there was that rumor floating around about how Google was going to make a multi-billion-dollar investment in LG display to make AMOLED displays. Maybe this was part of a deal. Like that actually did go through and LG was like, all right, well, if you want these to start, like you have to we have to make your phone for you. And so then they told HTC like, okay, we only need one phone from you now because we're doing big things with LG. I don't know. I have no inside information on that. Just like the timing of all of that, that news coming out and then now LG potentially making one is maybe, I don't know. I just think it's going to suck in terms of design. I think it was kind of cool that Google released two of the same phone, one just slightly bigger. I mean, I know that's kind of iPhone-ish Apple's approach, but, and Samsung now too, but I don't think that's going to happen this year.
I really enjoyed that last year too. So,
I like choice. And a lot of times choice ends up being like you have to sacrifice something. But with the Pixel, just like the S8, like you didn't have to sacrifice anything.
Well, minus the display.
Yeah, the display resolution did drop down, but if LG's doing it, like, are you gonna get a really fancy new special OLED only in this LG one, and then in the HTC version you're gonna get like a crappy version of the OLED and not quite as good of a design? You know what I mean? Hopefully not. In related news, I don't know what to really think about this. The Pixel launcher a couple weeks ago hit 1 million installs for the first time. And does that mean that Google really only sold 1 million Pixel phones? Like, that's what I think, really low.
Doubt they even sold that many, right? They probably manufactured them. I just don't know, right? I mean, I could see them selling only a small amount. I mean, it is like a niche product.
I mean, even LG probably sold 1 million G6s at like a month or 2 weeks.
We'll never know, right?
We'll never know. And you know, they obviously had massive issues in getting manufacturing phones. Like, it was it sold out right away, and then they kind of restocked it, and then how many months, like, especially at Verizon, I think people were had back orders for like months and months and months, and I don't know if they ever refilled them. So if they just sold out initially and didn't have any way to make new ones, or they ran out of AMOLED displays or whatever the excuse was, that's bad though. I mean, this phone is 8-9 months old. Yeah. Sold a million of them.
Well, they always sort of round down too, right? I think they would show 1 million, 10 million, 50 million. Like, I don't know if they go 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. So what do I don't mean? Know. In terms of downloads. So, I mean, sure, it says 1 million downloads. That's not really, it's sort of like,
well, no, the reason we know it hit that is because it was previously at 500,000 mark, and then it flipped to the 1 to 5 million or whatever mark. So it was like it just eclipsed that next category. So I doubt like it was at 3 million and then they finally flipped the switch, right? Is what I'm saying.
And only 8,000 people reviewed the app though. You know, it's really hard to say, okay, that's how many downloads there are, so that's how many they sold. I just don't like tying those things together, because I don't think they're exactly synonymous with each other or whatever. You know, I just don't think they're tied together. So that's just me.
But it's like that app is only available to that phone.
I could download it if I were probably on another phone if I really tried. I don't know.
That makes it even worse.
Yeah, it's true.
That makes the numbers even lower.
I don't think I
really care. It just shows you that Google needs to figure out how to actually make phones, because this happens every year.
Right. Well, does Google even care how many they're selling, right? We know that they're taking their hardware more seriously, of course, et cetera, et cetera. They just brought on like this chief architect for Silicon from Apple. So they're definitely taking things seriously, but do they care about selling it, you know, and packaging it and getting into all that? We just don't.
Charge a premium, you better be serious about something. I think Rick Osterloh said at the time, like, this is like, it's like first inning. Like, we're just getting started here.
Yeah. Well, then they're just getting started.
Yeah. And they obviously made some huge manufacturing mistakes, but
yeah.
All right. So this week, what's the website? Is it Mice? MYCE?
I think so. Mice.
They posted that, they thought they found evidence that Android O could be Android oatmeal cookie, because there's all these labels in AOSP that say OC dev. And then a bunch of people noticed at Google I/O that there was mentions of oatmeal cookie in some of the slides of code that Google showed. So I don't know that I really believe it's oatmeal cookie.
Confirmed.
But anyways, it's out there, Android O, and they're at least in the background testing for now. They're testing it as oatmeal cookie. Could be like they did with key lime pie. Remember that? Key lime pie was around forever until the last minute. They're like, no, it's Kit Kat. Buy some candy bars. So this could be like them screwing around oatmeal cookie for now until we get to Oreo.
Don't get your hopes up, man. I wonder, I'm very curious, you know, how much Nabisco would charge them to license the name.
We definitely need some Android Oreos. Like, how cool would that be?
It'd be awesome, but it sounds expensive.
It probably would be. They'd have to make all new packaging, like to hold the Android guy shaped Oreos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Probably not worth it. But it would be sweet. They didn't make Kit Kats for that long, though. It was like a one off, and they were sold out instantly, weren't they?
True, because they were giving out Google Play credit inside.
That's true.
And they were awesome.
So, anyway, oatmeal cookies floating out there as a potential name, but this is Google. who knows what it'll be. But it is Android 8.0 now. That's official. A couple weeks ago when Dev Preview 3 dropped, they switched it to Android 8.0. Not that we didn't think it was going to be Android 8.0, but it is official now.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the latest from what I saw was like August for a launch of it. So
that's when they launched Nougat, was in August. So it matches last year.
Yeah. So August, Android Oatmeal Cookie 8.0.
Yep.
And then shortly thereafter, Pixel 2.
Yeah. So remember last year, like they released Nougat and there was no Pixel phones, right? For another month or two. And then they launched Pixel and it had slightly newer software. Remember that? We were all like, at least I was all like pissed off. Like, what are you doing to Nexus? It's not going to give new cool stuff and whatever.
Hated.
And then eventually Nexus got most of it. But so maybe they'll do that again, right? Like they'll release Nougat or O, and it'll be just bare bones O. And then they've got some special stuff again cooked up for the next Pixel. Something like that.
Yeah.
All right, LG had news this week. They announced the LG G6 Plus, and I don't really know why, but it has 128 gig storage, and it comes in new colors.
Oh.
I think that's it. I think that's the only change.
That's it.
And they also are going to release the regular LG G6 in those same new colors. But the only difference in the Plus is it has 120 gig storage, and it has B&O Play earbuds in the box. But probably not in the US. So this phone probably won't come to the US. So it's probably not that big a deal, but I'm surprised they didn't throw in a Snapdragon 835 or something. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of upgrade here. Like why just up the storage?
Nope.
Up the storage and throw some buds in and charge an extra $100. I'm not really sure of the point.
Oh, more RAM, 6 gigs of RAM, right?
Oh, does it have more RAM?
Yep.
All right. More RAM, more storage.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's good. Okay. YouTube news announced today, actually, that integrated chat thing that we saw a year ago is finally coming out. So you can get on YouTube and chat with your homies and get a little thing going. They also announced new YouTube TV markets, 10 more, Portland not being one of them. Unfortunate.
I was just sorry. I'm looking at the press release for the G6 Plus. I was feeling like there must be. So the 128 of onboard storage, premium earphones from B&O Play to take advantage of the 32-bit hi-fi quad DAC.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
don't have in the US. There's no DAC here. Yeah.
Quad DAC. Yeah, so nothing about RAM. So I take that back. It was just now the Astro Black, Marine Blue, Terra Gold.
I think they're adding wireless charging to all the other units also, which they only was a US thing previously. It might have an upgrade to RAM. I actually thought I saw that somewhere as well, but they don't mention it in their press release. So,
yeah. All right. Moving on. All those colors are ugly anyway.
They are pretty ugly.
Like, why not a hot red?
Yeah. I don't really have anything else. I mentioned TV, unless you want to talk about YouTube TV.
Yeah, someone was asking me why I got off of it, and boom, get blocked. And so I quit YouTube TV. So when I went down to San Francisco for Google I/O, I signed up for the month trial. But I live in Portland, so obviously I was down there, came back to Portland, and it said, "Hey, you're out of your kind of local area, you won't be able to watch certain channels like Fox, ABC, Live." I was like, no big deal. I'm just trying it out. So I was trying it out, and I absolutely fell in love with the actual service and the app you use. It just seemed like right now I'm using PlayStation View on top of just my existing internet connection. And I really enjoyed it much more than I enjoy using PlayStation View. Like, I find PlayStation View to be such a struggle. I barely use it at this point. I don't even know why I'm still paying for it. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. And now with sports pretty much dead and my Giants totally sucking, there's like no reason to even have TV or live at all. So now that my month trial was up for YouTube TV, I just said, you know what? I will totally sign up for it once it's available in Portland. So really, it's not that I ditched it because I didn't like it. I just ditched it because it's not available in my area, like, fully yet. So once that happens, I'm definitely signing up. You're welcome for the commentary.
I'll probably take a look for sure once it comes out. Although,
it's really
I don't have an Android TV app yet, and that just kind of annoys. I don't like casting things. I think Google Cast is a cool technology in theory. I think it's like completely unreliable most of the time.
Yeah.
So until there's an Android TV app, that might be tough.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anything else to talk about?
No. Yeah, we did. We did cover a lot. If anyone is playing Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, feel free to message me on Twitter. Let's talk about joining or starting a guild or something so we can do some raids, earn some gear, unlock some characters, and be friends forever. Because I need friends to play that with. So yeah, I'll be your friend. Other than that, I've got nothing.
All right. I got nothing else then, so... yeah, thanks for joining us. Again, give us feedback on the new site as you run into issues, see things you may need tweaked, whatever. We're still working on some stuff, but
be on the lookout for shirts and hoodies and all that.
Yeah, be on the lookout for swag really soon. I actually wanted to make it available this week. I apologize I haven't, but it was a busy week. Anyways, yeah, thanks for joining us. Have a safe weekend, everyone. Don't melt if you are in Portland because it's gonna be out. All right, we're Joy Life.
Peace.